Last week, R.C. spoke to us about screen times and meal times and spending times together. The Coates family, they took that challenge, they took those words, and they decided to start talking about the Word sitting at the dinner table and understood that the Word is more important than screen times. And it's just super cool to hear that. So if you've got some things that God is doing in your families, reach out and let us know. That encourages not only us, but we can encourage each other as the body of Christ as we come, because we're doing this together, amen? We're in this together, we're living this out together, and we want to be encouraged together in this. And so this morning, we're going to continue through our Habits of the Household series, and we're going to talk about two things. That one, that most of us participate in, and the second one is something that we all could probably be better at. And so we're going to look at these things. And before we dive into this, I love this scripture. I love the Shema. I love Deuteronomy 6. And when Moses is telling the Hebrews to teach them diligently, teach them diligently. The Shema wasn't just a suggestion. It wasn't just something that he was just saying, hey, if you get around to it, put this into practice. He's saying, no, these things that I'm telling you, you need to do on an everyday basis. Like, you need to put these things, not just every day, all moments. And so as we look at this as a parent, what do we want for our kids? You know, I'm a parent. I've got three kids. I've got an 18-year-old and a 13-year-old and an 11-year-old. And so we're walking this out together. So I'm right here with you. And as we think, what do we want for our kids pertaining this verse or taken out of this verse more than anything else? We want our kids to love God more, amen? Like, we want our kids to love God with all their heart, soul, and might. And they need to see that displayed in us as parents. And so this series that we're walking through, you might say, well, I'm a parent, this is right where I'm at. You might say, well, I don't have a kid, I'm a young adult, I'm not even thinking about that, I'm not married, I don't have any kids in the house, or I'm a student, this doesn't pertain to me. I promise you, wherever you are in your life right now, these words are impactful for you, not only today, but in the future as well. And so as we think about this, we want our kids to love God more. We need to love God more. And so how do we do that? So our first practical habit this morning, our first habit that we want to teach our kids to love God more through is when we work. When you work. Now, a poll was recently done, given to Chinese elementary school kids and American elementary school kids, and they were asked, what do they want to be when they grow up? And the results were astounding. An overwhelming response of Chinese kids said they want to be astronauts, which is pretty cool. I get that. But for the American kids, you know what they said? YouTubers. Like, they want to be a YouTuber. What in the world? Like, that's so crazy to me. I mean, when we think about the hardest working person that you know or have known in your life. For some of us, it was our grandparents. Our grandparents, our grandfathers, they worked in the mill, or they worked in the plant. They weren't afraid to get their hands dirty. They worked hard. I mean, you know those guys. They were rough and tough. For some of you, it was the single mom that raised you, had three jobs to make ends meet. They did what they could to provide for their family, to have the best for their family. For others, it might be your dads. Man, they worked hard. They worked hard at work, and they came home, and they worked around the house and tried to keep the house in order on the outside and the inside. They did what they could. For some, it's their moms. Man, those moms who decided to stay home and provide and work for their kids, teaching them and homeschooling and being a cook for breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, and everything in between. And then doing all the school shopping and keeping the house in order. Man, we think about those hard workers in our lives. And for some of those hard workers, and out of those hard workers, most of them that we think about really didn't complain about their job, did they? I mean, they might have complained about their boss, or they might have complained about the people that they worked with, but they had pride. They took pride in their work, right? You remember that? They took pride in their work. But, you know, I heard someone, you know, you've heard this saying, find something you love to do and you'll never work a day in your life. Yeah, that's sometimes true. You know, that's why they write so many songs about how awesome work is. You know, like Manic Monday, you know, and then Everybody's Working for the Weekend. And that great song by Johnny Paycheck, Take This Job. And we'll stop right there. You know, the Bible teaches that we need to have a different attitude towards work. It really does. And we need to lean into this. I mean, I think about what the New Testament says. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do for the glory of the Lord. And that's everything, not just the things we say, but the things we do. And that includes the work that you do. We have to teach our children that the value of hard work, not just because we live in America and that's what we do. No, it's because we're believers in Christ. And God has put this in our hearts. And Moses tells the Israelite parents. Moses is very clear with the Israelite parents that you need to teach their children to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. But he's very clear in the scriptures. He says, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you should talk to them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. And I think this working piece is when you walk by the way. We're looking at this and walk by the way. And when we think about this, and how do we teach our kids to love God more through the way of work? And that might seem kind of strange. It might seem kind of interesting to us. But let's think about this for a second. We were all born in the image of God. We were all born with the Imago Dei. That we're not all born, let me just pause for a second. We're not all born children of God. We're not all born children of God. You become a child of God after you receive what God has sent for us, his son Jesus, as our Savior and our Lord. That's when we become children of God. We're not born as children of God. We were born in the image of God. That means all the moral, all the spiritual, the intellectual sense, we have that same thing because we're made in the image of God. We have the ability to love. We have the ability to show grace. We have the ability to have joy and to laugh. We are made in the image of God. But do you realize that God has given us a work ethic because he has a work ethic? I mean, think about Genesis 1:1. We talked about this a little while ago. In the beginning, Elohim, God, created the heavens and the earth. He worked. He said these things, he spoke these things into existence, and he made the heavens and the earth, the moon, the stars, streams, mountains, ants, squirrels. He made all of it. He made all of it. God worked, and he gave that same heartbeat to his most prized possession, us. You ever thought about that? He gave that same heartbeat to us. Remember what happened in Genesis 2. He had created man, and in Genesis 2:15, check what the Lord did. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. He put him there to work. He didn't put him there just to, oh, man, enjoy it, just do whatever you want. No, he put him in the garden to work and to tend what God had created. But typically when we think about work, what is our first response? Ugh, gosh. I mean, even now some of you are getting a little anxious about tomorrow. You're like, oh, I gotta go to work tomorrow. Oh my goodness. But what if we changed the way we looked at work? What if we as believers in Christ changed the way we look at work? And we looked at it in a different light, and not just for work's sake, but for our family's sake. What if we dove in here and looked at it for the lens of our families? I mean, we think about this. We said it. We all agreed and said the amen. Man, we want our kids to love God more. And that's with every aspect of our lives. It's not just coming to church and being a good Christian and dressing and looking and talking and doing the thing. No, it's in every aspect of life. And this is an important one. And that's why I say at the beginning, you know, most of us participate in this. Most of us have jobs. Most of us have the ability to work. And so outside of our kids making good grades and being a good athlete and being a good Christian, being a good follower of Christ, someone who loves God and loves people, man, what do we want for our kids? I think most of us would say that they would have a good work ethic. I think we would say that, but do they see that in us? Do they see that in us in this place as parents? And we need to model a good work ethic, right? Like, we need to have that in our homes. We need to look that. We need to act like that. I mean, and this is an age, we live in an age where it's like get rich quick, right? You see all these things on Facebook and Instagram. Follow me for $4,000 worth of passive income. You can do this, you can do that. Follow me, send me $100 and I'll tell you how to do it. Think about that for a second. All right, so, I mean, and then you got some folks, it's like, remember what's the number one goal for a kid right now is to be a YouTuber influencer? And they'll have tens and tens of followers and make pennies. You know, like, just like, it just doesn't make sense. RC and I were talking about this week, and we're just astounded by, and maybe you've noticed this too, the uptick in, like, online betting. Have you seen that? Especially during football and basketball season, like, gambling is such, like, high in priority. They'll even give you money to start. It's amazing. And now some of these things, now listen, can you make money that way? Sure. Like, I think you can, maybe. And if you do make some, just don't forget about me. But listen, but are we called to make money that way? Are we called to receive cash that way? I really don't think so. Think about Ecclesiastes. This dude who wrote Ecclesiastes, Solomon, the wisest man to ever live. That's what we know about him, the wisest man. He says this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. You know what that toil means there? Work. That's right. It means work. I mean, it's a gift. Have you ever thought about your job as a gift? So you're like, no, it's a curse. No, but have you thought about it? It's a gift. Like, this is a gift from God, and we need to be reminded of this truth. You need to be reminded that God has given you this gift, among many other things, but this is one of the gifts that God has given you. And do your kids see that in your life? Do the people in your homes see that in your life, that the job that you wake up to go to every morning or every evening, whenever your work schedule is, do they look at it, and the people in your home, do they see it as a gift in your life? A lot of times, I've been guilty of this too. Like, I'm preaching to the choir. Like, seriously, I've been guilty. You know, we think about this and we make this statement. I have to go to work tomorrow. I have to go to work tomorrow. What if we change that in light of this verse? What if we change that to, we get to go to work tomorrow? It's a gift. Like, we get to go to work tomorrow. Our kids need to see that it's not a curse. I mean, think about what gifts are in the first place. I mean, they're given because someone loves you enough to give you something because they care about you. They love you. They want you to have something good. And when we look at this verse, this work is a gift. Whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, or a preacher, or a custodian, it's a gift. Whether you work in your home, it's a gift. And we get to do these things. I mean, God gives us this gift of work, I mean, because he cares about us. So our minds automatically, when we think about if we want God, we want our kids to love God more, they need to see a good work ethic. And many times that's taken outside the home where we go to. And I think that's part of it. But what about inside the home as well? What about the things that we do in our house as well? I want to encourage you, get your kids involved in working around the house. doing things around the house. We heard a story last week where people were setting, I think Daniel was saying that that Danny was going and setting the forks and napkins out at the table. That's super cool. And I'm always reminded of my family. My wife, you know, she cooks in our family. She don't want me to cook because we'd have hot dogs and macaroni and cheese every night. But, I mean, come on now, guys, you know, you're an expert cook, chef. You're an expert chef at hot dogs and mac and cheese. And if you put them together, then you're getting really gourmet, all right? But my wife would involve our girls to help cook. And, man, they're in the kitchen, and can dinner be much more efficient if she just cooks it by herself? Yes. Can it be a lot cleaner if she cooks it by herself? Yes, absolutely. But it's not about that. It's about them being involved. It's about her teaching our girls. It's about them being together, getting them involved in the mealtimes. I mean, and the biggest part of it is that they get to spend time with one another. Like, they get to spend time. I'll never forget, my dad would ask me to go out and help him work on his truck all the time. I mean, all the time. He's like, hey, son, you know, I got to change the oil, come help me. Or I got to go rotate my tires, come help me. Or I got to change my brakes, come help me. I mean, he would say that all the time. Usually it ended up me holding the flashlight or losing the 10 millimeter socket, all right? All the dudes know what that means, that 10 millimeter socket. Like, you know, that's what it ended up. And I'd find some way to get back in my room and go play my Nintendo. Like, that's, I figured it out. I got to go to the bathroom, and then I just never would come back out. Like that's what it was. But my son, and I tell him this often how proud I am of my son. And I'll ask him to come outside, and I know he doesn't really want to help me work on my truck. But my son, he will be out there with joy. I don't get it. I tell him so often, man, I was not like that, son. Man, he's out there, and he's like, I mean, he's doing what he can. He's pushing the tires and changing brakes. Man, a tire will blow out on our camper. He's the first one. All right, Dad, let's go. Man, he'll be out there, and it'll be like a pit crew changing it. But you know what I'm getting to teach my son? Not to call AAA when a tire goes out. I'm teaching my son a valuable lesson. But at the end of the day, seriously, at the end of the day, it is about that, but it's about spending time with my son. I look back and about all the times I missed with my dad. All the times I missed learning from him, not just about changing tires. And I mean, I can learn all that on YouTube now, but it's like the time that I missed out on. Moms and dads, let's redeem this time. Let's get our kids involved in these things. Let's get our kids, and sometimes it's going to take twice as long, and you're going to get twice as dirty, but your kids need to be involved in those things. We can do that, and we can find joy in that. You will find joy. I mean, think about this. If that's a gift from the Lord, how proud God is of us when he sees us enjoying that gift. Now, I get it. Some of us are in a tough spot in our jobs. Let's be real right now. It's tough. Trying to make ends meet. You might have lost a position. You're in a tough spot pertaining work. I mean, those are real things. Those are real things. And use those moments to teach your kids about what it means how God will provide. Use those moments. Don't waste any of them. I mean, he doesn't take things away or make moves because God is a jerk. He's not doing that because he doesn't like you. He loves you. Maybe he has something else better for you. Lean into those and help your kids and family see that. And I was thinking about this too. Don't talk bad about your boss or your coworkers in your homes. I want to really challenge you not to do that. Because your kids are going to hear that, and they're going to grow up to be complainers and gripe about the people that they work with. And if we want our kids to love God more, we need to see them that they were made in the Imago Dei, that they're made in the image of God, and hopefully that they've become children of God, and that's not loving their neighbor as themselves. So we need to lean into that as well, okay? So listen, we want our kids to, we want to teach our kids diligently to have a good work ethic, but because it comes from the Lord. God worked, so we should work. At home, in the office, at the plant, this is truly helping us to love God more. And if we're thinking about this, if we're thinking about working, when we work or when you work, we learn that from God, but what else do we learn from God to help our kids to know and love God more? When you rest. When you rest. And that's the thing I think we don't do a great job at. I know I struggle with that. Like, I struggle with the rest part. And I bet you I could prove it this morning that most of us have a hard time with resting. When someone says, someone asked you this morning, how you doing this morning? And they look back at you and they say, I'm tired. I'm tired. Some of us, we've said that today. I mean, God hasn't just encouraged us to work hard, but he's also encouraged us to rest well. He's also encouraged us to rest well. Many weeks that we have are filled with work and church and play and all these things. We've got a lot going on in our lives. We're a busy, busy society. We really are. We really are. When was the last time you took a true inventory of your week? When was the last time that you went through your week from Sunday to Saturday and looked at your week just to see how busy you are? When you're going to have time to come together as a family? When you're going to have time to enjoy one another in company? And then when are you going to have time to rest? I mean, we have so many things going on in our weekends now, right? I mean, all throughout the week, we have practice for our kids to have a tournament on Saturday that if they keep winning, that they'll bleed over on the Sunday. Like, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of things happening. And I mean, the weekend really gets shot after a time. And the question is, when does your family rest? When does your family rest? So in Deuteronomy 5, I love Deuteronomy. If you haven't read the whole book of Deuteronomy, do so, because it's a recounting of everything that God has already done. It's really, really cool. It truly is one of my favorite Old Testament books. But in Deuteronomy 5, Moses is recounting the Ten Commandments. And the first four are due to it involves the Israelites' relationship with God. And the last six is the Israelites' relationship with people. And we can say the same thing. The first four is our relationship with God. And then the last six is our relationship with people. But the fourth commandment, commandment is to keep the Sabbath day. To keep the Sabbath day. And it's a strong one because God tells the Israelites to observe the Sabbath. But he doesn't just tell them to observe it. He commands them there twice. I mean, it's one of the longest descriptions of a commandment. He wants them to understand because he realizes this is going to be tough for them. This is going to be hard for them to lean into. We have to listen to what he says. We understand the Ten Commandments, pretty good rules to live by. Man, we need to keep the fourth one. It's a big deal. And if it was important enough for God, I mean, think about this. Genesis 1, 6 days he worked, but what did he do on the seventh? He rested. Rested. And you know what's interesting about the word Sabbath? Maybe you've heard that word Sabbath, and we consider Sunday a Sabbath day. You know what's interesting about that word? It's the translation of that. You know what it means? Rest. Rest. And that's what we need to. It means to rest. And for our tradition, or our Christian tradition, our Sabbath day is on Sunday, the Lord's Day. We treat this as the Lord's Day. And I think that's awesome for two reasons. Number one, it's the start of the week. Too many times, we tag Sundays as the end to the weekend. Monday is the first day. Monday starts everything out. What if we made a shift in our minds that the Sabbath day and be reminded, you know this, this is how our calendar works, that Sunday is the first day of the week. And so what does that mean? Man, we have a new opportunity for God to move in our families this week. We have new ways, new chances for gospel conversations this week. We have new remembrances of who he is this week in our families. We can set the tone then or now in our lives for this week and say, okay, this is what this week is going to bring. It allows us to rest from the week before and allows us to gear up for the week that's coming. That's why, side note, I'm going to chase a rabbit for a second. That's why I would encourage you to read your Bibles in the morning. Start your day with the Lord. Because if you don't, you're not going to get to it, potentially. You're going to have to come back to it, or if you do it at all. Man, let's start the week knowing who God is, resting in His promises. I mean, think about what Jesus said in Mark 2. I love this. He said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is even the Lord of the so the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Just like work is a gift from the Lord, the Sabbath is a gift for the Lord. And now I've seen people take this to extremes though, right? You have the workaholics that have to work every single day. They have to work Sunday through Saturday to provide and have this lifestyle to make all the money to live in the house and drive the truck and have the boat and go on the trips and do all these things. So I don't have time. I can't rest. I'll rest when I'm dead. Sunday to Saturday, I'm going to work. I mean, that's not what it's about. Our motives for our lives are wrong if that's our attitudes. I mean, the Sabbath can be on the other ditch too. You can have that other side. My grandfather, he wouldn't do anything on a Saturday. I mean, he would sit there and watch TV and wrestling in the end, WCW. Like, that was all he'd do. My grandmother, she wouldn't go shopping. You know why she wouldn't go shopping? She couldn't. There was nothing open. Chick-fil-A wasn't the only store that was closed on Sunday. You remember? Remember that time, most of us, we talked about this, we didn't have the internet. Stores were closed during Sunday during that time. I mean, we remember this. And then there's those people in between, it's just like, well, Sabbath's just another day. Sunday's just another day of the week. We'll rest, we'll do these things, we'll treat it just like any other day, especially during the summertime. We'll lay low, we'll have church on the phone. That's not what it's about. We're going to talk about that in a second. Because those things, working and not doing things, those aren't inherently bad. But what if we used our Sabbath day or Sundays as a family to refocus our minds, to reset for the week that's coming that we talked about, this refreshing of our souls? How do we do that as a family? How do we do that as like a nuclear family? How does your family in your home rest well? Well, some families play games together. They break out the board games and the Uno and play it at the kitchen table. Some families, they go on hikes. They get outside and they enjoy being together. They'll spend the day by the pool. Man, they'll make a big meal together and they'll eat together and they'll sit and have pot roast. Does anybody ever do that anymore? I don't think we do it. But, I mean, they enjoy that time together. Literally, families just rest. They chill. They enjoy just being with one another. And it doesn't just have to be your family as well. Invite another family over. Invite another family over to enjoy that Sabbath together where the kids can laugh and play and the husbands can talk and the wives can get together. And man, you can enjoy that Sabbath together. Like that, these are very practical ways. But the Sabbath is not just meant for the immediate family. I don't think it's just meant for the immediate family. I think it's also meant for the family of God. I think the Sabbath is meant for the family of God as we come together because of what Christ has done for us. And that's where that true rest comes from, where the finished work of Christ is found and we get to participate in that as the family of God. I mean, think about this. We get to come together as the first day of the week, the first moment, early in the morning, to worship our Savior. We get to sing songs to Him. We get to pray to Him corporately. We get to hear His word being preached. We get to read it in groups. Like, we get to enjoy this gathering together. as a family of God. And I know we think about this. COVID was a wild time, right? It was wild. And I know it just seemed like yesterday for some of us, but man, COVID was a tough time for church world. It was tough for us pastors. It really was because, man, we did not like not being with the body because we knew that that's not what God has called us to. And man, we could not wait to get back together as the body of Christ. We could not wait to be together because we knew that corporately, man, we could get together and rest in the Lord. We could hear from the Lord together. And so, man, a lot of things amped up during that time, right? Man, we got new cameras and we got new internets and we got new websites and we got new things where we could watch church at home. Now, I think sometimes that's a joy. You're on vacation, man, you're resting with your family, man, you're watching the sermon online, you're watching it at home, on vacation, or maybe you're sick, you can watch it at home. Those things are good, but I want you to know this morning. And Hebrews talks about this. Do not forsake the gathering of believers. Why? Because I know, I've seen it happen over and over and over. Well, people say, well, I'll watch online this week, and then next week comes, I've got something going on, I'll watch online. And before you know it, two or three months go by and you haven't been in church. Man, we need to be together. We need to be together. And that's where we find rest. I mean, this is reminded that, man, we can't do anything to earn our salvation. We can't work to earn our salvation. We need to be reminded of that together. Man, there's nothing that we can do to receive God's salvation other than accept his son. And we realize that together. We come together, we're reminded of that. We're able to worship our King together as a body. Man, you can bring your friends, you can bring your unbelieving family to join into this and see what the goodness of what this family can look like. Some of us would never dare bring our lost friends into our family. Whew, too dysfunctional. But what if you brought them into this family? They got to see what the family of God looks like. Man, that would be amazing. Why? Why do we think this way? Well, first, because we want our kids to love God more. But if we want our kids to love God more through the things that we work on and the things that we rest in, how do we do that? And we understand what God has done for us. We realize that. We recognize that. And we do that together as the body of Christ. Now listen, I know today some of us might not do these things very well. Some of us complain a lot about our jobs or have a tough heart when it comes to our positions. Some of us don't rest very well. Some of us have a hard time resting together. I get it. The beauty of what God has given us through Jesus is that there's grace. And there's no better time to start these habits than today. Like literally, you could go home today and put these into practice. You literally could bite your tongue tonight about work tomorrow. Like you could do that. Like you could do that. We can do this together. And imagine what the world would see. Listen, imagine what the world would see, the outside world would see about a group of people who look at their work as a gift from God. And not only look at their work, but resting in who God is for us. And what he's done. And today, we could change that. We could change that together. And so this morning, I want to have a moment where we could just bow our heads and close our eyes. Can we do that? Can we bow our heads and close our eyes? And there's nothing magical about that moment. It just lets us get a little refocused as we talk to the Lord. No distractions. And maybe through this scripture this morning, as we walk by the way, we're teaching our children. Maybe the word has spoken to us that we need to change our hearts. Would you ask the Lord to change your hearts when it comes to work or rest? Would you ask the Lord to give you a new outlook? Would you ask the Lord to maybe show you the reason that you have the job that you have is that someone needs to hear about Jesus in your office. Would you ask the Lord to help you parent your children if you have kids in a way that teaches them to value hard work because God were made in your image? And the whole ultimate point in this would be that they would see what you've done for us, Jesus, the finished work of Christ on the cross. Like, there's nothing that we have to do to work and earn our salvation. It's all done through you, Jesus. And so this morning, I just ask God that you would move in power in this place. I ask God that you would allow us to worship you. God, I pray that this morning we would rest in a busy, busy society, in a busy, busy church where there's many things going on. God, I pray that we would rest in you. Lord, we can do it with your help. So God, if we know you in this place, may we lean into that today. God, if we don't know you as our Savior and our Lord, God, would you change that? Would you save this morning? God, wherever we are, may we recognize what you've done for us on the cross. So we sing to you. You deserve all the praise. Lord, we love you.